One of my favorite members serving in the U.S. House is Congressman Nathaniel Moran from Texas's 1st District, Tyler, Smith County, all these amazing rural counties in East Texas. Congressman Moran served on the city council in Tyler, also became the county judge. He's been married over 23 years. They have 4 school-aged children. So every time he comes to Washington, D.C., he leaves his precious wife and his children. Congressman Moran has been one of our most important friends for Christians Engaged. We're really excited about his friendship, and we're so thankful for him sharing with us why Christians should get involved and what are some of the pitfalls that we have as Christians as we can get involved with government and politics. You're going to really enjoy this interview. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do 3 things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
So thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
There's nobody else I want to talk to about Jesus with than you.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
And I'm 100% behind something that Bunny Pounds is doing. Encourage her, pray for her, and be involved. Be part of Christians actively engaged.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these 3 simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us. Hey guys, we are talking about Christians. How do we get around all the pitfalls of engaging in government politics? There's a lot of pitfalls. So I love this series that we're drilling down with some incredible Christians that have been in leadership about how we avoid some of these pitfalls for our life. And I'm joined here in Washington, D.C. with Congressman Nathaniel Moran.
Hey, Bunny, I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me. And thanks for all the work you're doing with Christians Engaged. This is what we need to see in our country today, is to see Christians in the middle of the cultural and the political battles. If we're not in the middle of it, we're giving it over to the enemy, and we shouldn't do that.
Well, thank you. And you've been one of our strongest supporters here in Washington, D.C. Thank you for speaking to our group every year when we come to D.C. It's always fun. Pray Day, Vote Day, Engage Day, and helping us with that. So you grew up in a ministry family. I want to hear a little bit of your story. I think to set the tone of why you're even here. But talk about your faith a little bit, Congressman, and just your growing up and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and thanks for starting right there, because that's the foundation, really, I think, of why I'm here in Congress today, is because at a very young age, my parents taught me the value of giving back. They focused on the 2 great commandments, loving God and loving others. And that means really serving God and serving others. My story begins as a young man, 2 years old, traveling across the country from Arizona to Texas. My parents came to Texas to help start a Bible college in East Texas in the mid-70s. That's what got me to East Texas, and I've been there ever since. But growing up on that Bible college campus where my mom worked in the cafeteria, whipping up potatoes every day, and my dad was an administrator at the Bible college, that shaped my view, my worldview of the world, because everything that we did was centered around faith. Yeah. We were in church 3 times a week without question, a lot of revival services, a lot of tent revivals in between. And it was such a valuable upbringing, because it reminded me that in everything that we do, we should do it with that Christian worldview. There should never be a moment inside or outside of politics when we take off our Judeo-Christian ethic and we say, oh, I can act different because I'm in politics, or, oh, I can be different or think different because I'm in politics. Mm-hmm. Truth is, that is not the truth.
Right. It's all your life.
It is true no matter where we are, and no matter who we are, and no matter what position we are. And our goal in life should be to figure out, Lord, what's your calling for our life? And then when, where, and how should I serve? And how should I fulfill my call? Because I tell students all the time, There is one really great call in this world, and it's your call. That's the most important call in this world. There's not one that's greater than the other. We were all created with equal and eternal purpose. And if we find our call in this world and we pursue our call with excellence and do it for Christ's gain and not our own gain, then we're in the right position.
So good, Congressman. Really, being a Christ follower means that he is Lord over every part of our life. And, you know, we so often don't give young people the freedom to find, we think if they're in a pulpit, right? That's the call of God. But we can be ministers wherever we go.
Yeah.
And you've shown that.
And it's so true, because when I was coming out of college, I'll tell you, I did some missions work. Missions work was big with my family, and I did some missions work in Alaska. This was a moment in time when I almost made a critically wrong decision to pursue the wrong call, although, albeit a really great call. Mm. And that was after I went to Alaska for a summer to do some missions work. I had a pastor up there ask me to come back and be a missionary pastor the following semester when I graduated from my MBA courses. And at first I told him yes. Why? Because I thought, man, that's a valuable call to go be a missionary pastor in Alaska. That's really wonderful. About a week later, after I couldn't sleep for a week, I called this guy back and I said, you know what? The Lord's been working in my heart, and he showed me that this is not the direction of my life. Wow. I've known since the fourth grade that he called me to be a policymaker, to be in public service. And I told him, Jim, if I come up there, it'll be a mistake. And his response, to his credit, was, then don't come. He said, you need to follow the call that's on your life. And the worst thing you can do is come up here and be a missionary pastor. If you are not called to be a missionary pastor in Alaska, go pursue politics. And when I got elected to Congress, he and I had a nice communication exchange. And he said, how wonderful it is that you have followed your call.
Wow, that's a beautiful story, Congressman. You know, we have to have Christians running for office. I mean, we need people of integrity, people that have a biblical worldview. We've talked about this a lot. We really don't have a really good bench of leadership, which is part of what the motivation is for Christians Engaged, to get Christians praying, voting, and engaging. And then if God calls them to run for office, hey, we've got the resources and the campaign school to help you do that. We talk at our DC trip, you always share about your rise from city council to county judge and then member of Congress. Can you tell us a little bit of that story and why it's so important that Christians get involved on the local level?
Yeah, it's a really important story to tell about how God is faithful to bring that vocational call back into line. But he's faithful when we are faithful to him. He is going to bring that back in line with us if we make the right decisions. Yeah. We have three different calls, in my opinion. We have a faith call, we have a family call, and a vocational call.
Yes.
And the key is we must make sure to keep those in the right priority. So my vocational call was one of public service, but I have a faith call that is over everything and a family call that is underneath that, but is above my vocational call. Mm-hmm. And when I was on city council, I loved it. I was in Tyler, a partner at a law firm, doing great, rising the way I would have thought in my own human mind I should rise in my vocational calling. But at the age of 30, I had a son, same year I was elected to the city council, who 2 years later we found out was deaf. And within a year, we knew we needed to get to Houston, leave our world behind in Tyler, get to Houston so he could go to one of only two schools in the state of Texas that taught deaf kids how to speak. We knew that's what we needed to do. That's the family calling. And that was also the faith calling as well. Are we going to give this over to the Lord? I sent out 100 resumes in 2008. To get a job in Houston. I got zero responses. And at that point, then I had a decision to make. Do I run for city council again in 2009? Or what do I do? And I finally just gave it over to the Lord, my wife and I, and we said, Lord, you're going to have to work this out. We thought you wanted us down in Houston, but you're going to have to work this out if you want this to happen. So we gave it to him, and my wife started driving to and from Houston 2 days a week with two small kids so that my son could get speech therapy.
And that's a long drive for those of y'all not in Texas. Tyler to Houston, that's a good little track.
Yeah, 3.5 hours one way, and then with two little toddlers at the time. And here's the miraculous part. 2 weeks before I got elected to the city council for the third time in Tyler, I got a call out of the blue from my mock trial partner from law school. I hadn't talked to him in almost a decade. Mm-hmm. And he said, I hear you're looking for a job in Houston. And if that's true, I've got one for you. And God worked it out that even though I sent out 100 resumes and didn't get any responses, when I gave it to him and was faithful to him, then he worked out that job situation. And what's even more miraculous is because my wife had been driving for the last 3 months to and from Houston, he preserved one spot. There were 32 spots in that special school. One spot was open. And that school said, since you've been driving here for the past 3 months, we're going to give that space to you. But here's what else happened. I still had a decision to make. 2 weeks later, I got elected to city council. 10 days later, I got sworn in as mayor pro tem at the age of 34 in the city of Tyler. 10 minutes later, we resigned. And 2 weeks later, I was in Houston with my son. And even more miraculous, that school for the deaf was 4 blocks from my office. I could literally look down on his playground. My son went from being deaf and no speaking at all at the age of 4 and a half to 3 years later, speaking in full sentences. This year he graduates from high school, and we're so proud. God worked that miracle because we were willing to put our faith and our family first and give it to him to work it out. As a result of that, nearly a decade later, I got appointed to the county judge spot because of that decision. They said, we watched you walk away from politics and lay that aside to put your faith and your family first. And we need that in the county judge role. And as a result of that, then it gave me the platform to run for Congress.
Okay. You just hit on a big pitfall I've seen, and you've probably seen with believers, is that sometimes politics or pride or leadership becomes our God. Right. And that was a beautiful story of showing how you have to make those decisions and balance that, because it can't be our God. God has to be our God.
That's right.
And our family has to maintain our greatest priority outside of our walk with the Lord. So thank you for sharing that story. That was a really powerful story, Congressman. You've been involved a long time, as I have, and seeing Christians that have been really zealous. Okay, they're like, okay, let's go for America. We need to make sure that we protect liberty. And they're doing it from good hearts, right? They start out well, and then sometimes they get just a little off, right? How would you define that? Or how would you caution people to keep what's important? How would you help them operate as Christ followers in this space?
I think policymaking comes down to understanding what your foundation is. Good policymaking. The foundation has to be the natural law of God, which is set forth in our Holy Scripture and then through our Judeo-Christian ethic. And that rolls up to the greatest constitution this world's ever seen, the U.S. Constitution. Now, it's not perfect, but it's based on the Judeo-Christian ethic that is founded on the Holy Scripture and on our natural law of God. So if we can understand what our foundation is, we understand then what are the structural pillars and the substantive pillars of policymaking that we need to actually engage in. Yeah. I think what happens far too often is many people involved in politics only understand the issues of the day, those substantive pillars. They don't understand the foundation from which those pillars of policy came from. And then they don't know how to apply them. That's really the third step, is how do we apply them? We've got to make sure that we're electing people to offices that have the right skill set. Again, making sure that everybody's on the right seat in the bus and following their call. Yeah. There's some really great policymakers out there and people that voice and espouse Judeo-Christian ethics that should never be in a legislative body because it's not their skill set. They have other skill sets and they should be in other seats in the bus doing other functions. So everybody has to figure out the right function for them. And the ultimate goal is abundancy of life. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which I think tailors right back to what Scripture says, and that is, I come to bring you life and life more abundantly.
Yeah, that's really important that people understand. You can have a passion for something, you can be going for it, but really discerning, okay, are you supposed to be really running for office, or are you supposed to be adopting a candidate and volunteering, helping somebody, being a kind of lift up their arms kind of thing? Or are you supposed to dig into issues and become subject leader experts on that? What is, you know, it's all different calls with even within politics. That's right. Really good. What do people not understand about Washington, D.C.? Like, we look at this and we're like, oh, here you are. You're living some glamorous life, right?
I can tell you it's not glamorous. I mean, sure, every now and then there's a fancy dinner to go to and there's some nice things to enjoy. But the truth is, there's a lot of sacrifice that comes with it. The service that I have with this call comes with a lot of sacrifice, and in particular, a sacrifice on my wife and my kiddos.
Yeah.
Got 4 kids at home, 2 older teenagers and 2 that are in elementary school, 2 boys, 2 girls, and my wife, who I've been married to for 25 years, she misses time with me. And yeah, there's lots of mornings when I fly back to Washington, D.C., where we've had just a couple of days or maybe just one day together in between a lot of work in Washington, D.C., where I don't get to talk to her much at all, even throughout the week. And so that's very difficult on a relationship. And the burden of that sacrifice is borne primarily by my wife and my kids. And I see that. And so that's where my prayers are every day, is for them.
Yeah. Well, and we really try to encourage Christians to understand that reality of we've just been here a couple of days and it's like 15-minute meetings every, I mean, if you live through that nonstop, it's just exhausting, right?
Yeah.
And to realize when they're talking to their member of Congress or their state legislator that they need to come prepared, they need to know their stuff, and they need to treat you with respect for, you know, the public servant that you are as well.
Well, I can guarantee that I'm going to give 100% while I'm here, because that is our calling as well, to do everything with excellence and to do it unto the Lord. We have a mission statement in the First District of Texas that says, we're going to represent the First District of Texas with steadfast principles, with effective statesmanship, with humble service, and with bold action. It took a long time for me to develop that mission statement, but I think it really embodies how we should go about our business. And frankly, Bunny, this is one of the things that Christians, I think, forget sometimes when they get in politics. It's not just the ends. It's not just what we're after, but it's how we get there that matters.
Yeah, really.
And more importantly, it's why we're doing it.
Yeah. So good. Well, you've been one of our dear friends in this movement for the beginning, since we started. Why is it so important that Christians pray, vote, and engage? And even what we've built with Get Out the Vote system for Christians and a C3 package, and also all the curriculum packages to teach Christians the ins and outs of engagement. Why is that so important, Congressman?
It's the Esther model. I've talked to you about this before, and I love it because you're kind of a modern day Esther. Wow. You're right in the middle of that cultural and political battle. And when people say, if you're a Christian, why should you even be involved in politics? It's so dirty. I say, look at Esther. She was right in the middle of it. She changed the heart and mind of a king. She saved a nation. She changed laws. She engaged. But you know what she did? She prepared with wise and prudent action.
Yes.
And before she went into battle, she did prayer and fasting. That's the prayer part of it.
Yep.
And then when she did get engaged, then she was able to make that difference. When she followed not just the what, but the how and the why, she gave herself over to the ultimate sacrifice, even if it meant her life. She said, I'm willing to take this step.
So good. Well, Congressman, I know you're not afraid of prayer, so I want to pray for you. And then would you pray for everybody listening to us today?
Absolutely.
Because I know there's people listening that are like, okay, I want to start engaging, but I don't want to fall into some of this pitfalls. That's why I wrote my book, Jesus in Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. How do we get in the mud without getting the mud on us, right?
That's right.
So I want to pray over you and your family. And then if you would pray for our folks, we would love that.
I will.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for Congressman Moran. God, I thank you for our Christian members in this city, Lord, in the darkest place on the planet, serving as public servants. And Lord, it's hard. It's hard in these moments. And so, Lord, we pray for him and his family. We pray for the times that they're not together. We pray for his children. Thank you for all the miracles and the way you've led them through city council races, county judge, and now a member of Congress. Lord, we just pray for protecting his marriage, protecting his children, helping him even from afar, Lord, to raise his kids in the way they need to go. And God, thank you for wisdom and discernment for him and his team, his staff. Staff is so important. So Lord, we pray for his whole team here in the city and in the district, that you would guide them, lead them, and instruct them in the way they should go. We thank you for raising up more leaders in our nation in the days ahead.
Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be in this wonderful nation, the United States. Lord, the greatest nation ever to be on this earth. And Father, we count it as a blessing, but we know to whom much is given, much is required. We are thankful for the actions of Bunny Pounds and for Christians Engaged, for standing in the gap for America to say we will not go down without a fight, that we will remain true to the Judeo-Christian values that are inherent in the Holy Scripture. Father, we ask for boldness, for courage, for strength, for wisdom, for guidance to do the thing that you would have us do. Lord, that we could fulfill that great commandment in the New Testament to love God and to love others, and to do that, Lord, by serving you and serving others, finding a way to serve our community, to make a difference, and Father, also to be worthy of our call, just like the New Testament says to do, go be worthy of your call. Lord, we all each have an equal and eternal call in this world. Help us to have the wisdom to understand what that call is, to follow that, and then have the courage to follow that call, Lord, and to do it unto you with excellence, yes, and to do it for your benefit, not for our benefit, Lord, but for an eternal benefit in this life and beyond. And we give you the praise in all things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for joining us. And remember, pray, vote, engage. If you haven't taken our pledge to do that, take the pledge at ChristiansEngage.org and get in our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar. This class, only $29, teaches you everything you need to do to get involved. And then if you want to go even further, Salt and Light, How to Impact Your Local Communities, and our campaign school. We want to help you to live as a Christ follower in this space. We need everybody. America needs you in this hour and the body of Christ. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What in the time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.